JT live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Great to have you, JT, with you today in the concourse, live from NBA Summer League. Thrilled to be here for our second day in a row. We are here from 4 to 8 o'clock tonight. If you're coming down to the Summer League tonight, please come by and say hello right in the concourse, right in the heart of the Thomas and Mack. And we got a big couple of hours lined up. I'm really excited to be on the radio today, and not for what you think about when you think of NBA Summer League. I'm thrilled to be here. I love the NBA. It's arguably my favorite sport. We'll talk to the director, the founder of the NBA Summer League in Vegas, Warren Legarry, coming up here in a little bit. But I'm excited today because of not only our partnership with Golden Entertainment, the owners of PT's, the Stratosphere, the SG Bar, all the great Sierra Golds, everything I talk about here every day. But finally, Las Vegas as a professional sports town had their biggest professional sports signing of all time with Marc-Andre Fleury. To me, this is a milestone day in the city of Las Vegas. I started my career in this city in 1996, and I'm here today on the radio uninterrupted since 2018, up to 2018. And this, to me, is one of the top five moments in Vegas sports history when it comes to a business move. Because obviously there's no sports, pro sports in this town until we got the Golden Knights to come and have this unbelievable rocket ride. Now we have the best player in this young franchise's history locked up on a three-year extension. He'll play his next four seasons with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I think it's incredible. Now, we're the flagship station for this team, and I know at times I can be pressing, I could be anxious, I could be obnoxious, I can aggravate you, I could be all of that above, but I really want this town to step up like a sports radio town and treat this guy, this great player, to what he deserves. This is the flagship station. The phone should be packed today on everything that happens around this guy. 876-1340 is the number. If you are a season ticket holder, if you're a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights, this is the day to sound off like you got a pair. Fleury is locked in. He's officially the face of the franchise, and I believe the most important professional athlete ever to be locked up in this city, where a lot of professional athletes have had iconic careers. Floyd Mayweather has made more money than any athlete in the history of sports. All right, he's the most expensive athlete of all time. Vegas is his home. You look at the great run of the Running Rebels and Jerry Tarkanian, its greatest coach. He was on the payroll here at the university in Vegas. He's iconic. I walked by the statue as I came in today and took a picture and tweeted it out at JT the Brick. You look at the biggest moments in the history of all the big events that have been here now. And we're going to see more and more with college basketball, with the rodeo, with rugby. Go down the list of everything you've seen in this town. UFC and Dana White. To me, Dana White is on the short list. A paid executive, a multimillionaire who makes his home in Las Vegas. But this, to me, is different. This is Marc-Andre Fleury, a professional athlete on a professional team, locked up long-term. Now, I told you, I was the first to tell you this when he got here. This will be the first professional athlete ever to get a statue outside of T-Mobile. And I think he secured that statue when he took this team and carried him at times on his back all the way to the Stanley Cup final. It would have been epic if they were able to pull it off and drink from the cup. That didn't happen as Vegas lost to the Washington Capitals. But Fleury, this is such an important moment for this town. This town should be so proud. This is a young father and husband of two young girls. He doesn't have to pack a suitcase. He doesn't have to move his kids to the other side of the country. This is what athletes want. This is what James Neal wanted. This is what other athletes want in professional sports. They want to know that they're going to have a community. that they're going to have a fan base, that they're going to be there, that their kids can enroll in school, that they can build a house, they can be a part of charities locally in town, and Fleury got it with the three-year contract extension. The goaltender will get $7 million per season starting in 2019-20, helped by reaching the cup final, plus the three rings that he has already coming into this season. So again, I think it's expected. I expect it from you via Twitter at JT the Brick or on the phones. Let's get some hockey fans going here. Make my day and get this guy the respect he deserves. 876-1340 to pat Marc-Andre Fleury on the back. Here's just one of the great saves he had last season. This one was big in the postseason.
Definitely knocked over in front. Fendick, feet to the left, and a sliding stop, rebound, diving save, Fleury, two miraculous stops in a row, and the Knights clear it, first to his right, then to his left.
That's here, that's Dan Duva on the flagship right here on the Golden Knights radio network. So he had so many great saves. Now what's unique about this deal for Fleury is that he's locked up long term, and the Vegas Golden Knights have a lot of depth at the goaltender position. So I don't know if the backup goalies are in love with this move, but I think it's a great move because Fleury doesn't have to play every game. And taking a look at the schedule, and I've looked at that schedule coming into this year with a lot of travel and a lot of back-to-back games, it'll be great that Fleury does not have to play in a lot of these games back-to-back. I think the Vegas Golden Knights can sit him when they need to sit him, give him the rest that he needs with the depth that they have at the goaltender position. And then once the postseason begins, he will be locked in to play every playoff game, every game going deep into the playoffs. It also proves to me, and I already knew this, that George McPhee and Bill Foley, they were serious about winning a championship. But remember, when they put this initial team together, players like Fleury and some of the other veterans, they weren't expected to be here long. I thought some of them would have been traded at the trade deadline. A lot of them would have been on short-term deals that would have expired. But then what happened was this magic hockey ride where this team came together and went on one of the greatest sports runs we've ever seen in our life. Then players like Carlson, who get long-term deals or at least will get qualifying offers and they'll work those deals out long-term. Other players know that they're going to be here because now this team has to continue to win. So by locking up Marc-Andre Fleury, George McPhee sends a message to you and me, this radio network, everybody involved, that this team is really serious about winning a Stanley Cup, very serious about going back again. This doesn't look to me to be one of those one and done. Hey, we got lucky, or fortunate is the right word, in the first season. Now we'll pump the brakes. We'll go to the draft. We'll build a young team. We'll get rid of some of these bigger contracts, and we'll do it the long-term way, and we'll pick our spots to go to the playoffs in the Stanley Cup final. Absolutely not. This is a statement by Bill Foley and George McPhee and Gerard Gallant that this team is expected, with Fleury, to go deep, deep, deep into the postseason every year. You don't give this guy a three-year contract extension if you don't expect him to be playing deep into the playoffs and eventually win a Stanley Cup. So I'm thrilled today, as a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights, as a guy who abandoned my old hockey team to jump on this board and bandwagon to follow this team, to be lucky enough to be right here in Evening Drive on the flagship station, I am thrilled that this guy, one of the nicest guys that you could lock up long-term, is officially, I believe, going to retire a Vegas Golden Knight. He talked about it earlier today, signing the contract extension.
A little bit of everything. You know, I think first and foremost is the fact that this organization gave me a chance to play, you know, and to play a lot of games, and they believed in me, you know, and I love to do what I do, right? And this was big, and somebody's got mail. That's it.
What a humble superstar. I mean, really, just a humble superstar along the way. And I love the fact that he showed gratitude, because a lot of this had to do with the Vegas Golden Knights when he wasn't protected by Pittsburgh. And they said, we have to gobble him up. We have to bring him in here. We have to be a legitimate franchise. And the only way to be legitimate is to go in there and have an iconic future Hall of Famer between the pipes. And I really believe he is appreciative for that. And now he gets to call Vegas home for a long time to come.
But then the fact, the success that we've had, you know, over the season, winning is always makes everything better, right? And then the fans, how much they they supported us right from day one, and they were crazy all season long, you know, and the playoffs were a lot of fun to play.
So that's a nice move here, and again, I think everybody should be pretty excited about this. Look, I'll even take it one step further, and I look at our partners here at PT's and Golden Entertainment. This should be some type of party going on in town tonight. He's that big of a deal. You don't lock this guy up long-term and this guy gets away, I really believe it affects this community. I really believe it affects everyone, the season ticket holders, media partners, everybody involved. For us to all know that he's going to be a part of the building process of this brand, the Vegas Golden Knights, again, I think this secures his statue, his bronze statue that'll be coming in a number of years. I think he is the first professional athlete to sign a long-term contract at this type of money, and I think it'll be a fantastic moment that we'll look back in years to come. And I think it also puts expectations at a level that I wanted to see at. I didn't question this once they got good, but I didn't think that we'd see anything like this. Never thought that we'd see anything remotely like this, and we're seeing it here. So congratulations to Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm sure we'll get him on the radio coming up here at some point in time. They're in their offseason, but this is a blockbuster deal. I mean, this news broke today on NHL.com, and it was up there, and you look at this extension, and everybody who's in the hockey world. I got a text from my buddy Moj in Vancouver that we're going to be able to get on here, and everybody's saying, wow, really big move by Vegas to lock this guy up. And I think it's obvious that they needed to lock him up long term. So let's get everybody excited about this. 876-1340. Want to hear from some Golden Knight fans. And look at Twitter, at JT the Brick. And what does this mean for you in this town? And if you're a hockey fan especially, what does it mean to you? As we get going here, what happened today in tennis was absolutely remarkable. The match between Anderson and Isner at center court at Wimbledon, the fifth set, Anderson wins 26-24 in the fifth set. So I believe this goes down as the greatest men's semifinal in the history of tennis. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. Remember, we have Serena Williams, who's going to be going tomorrow to maybe stamp her ticket as the greatest athlete in American history, let alone the greatest tennis player, male or female, of all time. So the buzz that is coming up on the other side of the pond is tremendous when we take a look at all this unbelievable news that we're seeing here. So 26-24, and then the better match, which was just stopped recently due to curfew, 11 p.m. locally in London, Novak Djokovic is up on Rafael Nadal, 2-1, which really feels like that's going to be the Wimbledon final. I have no idea how Anderson is going to be able to step up and, you know, be able to recover and come back from that victory and come back and be legitimate in this final coming up here. But we'll be able to talk about that, too. So we're live from NBA Summer League. We're ready to go right out of the gate. 876-1340 is the number. And we have a great first guest to join us right out of the gate here as we get going to talk NBA Summer League. The crowds that have been so enormous right out of the gate. Warren Legarry joins us, and he's the executive director of the NBA Las Vegas Summer League, and a big reason why we're sitting here inside the Thomas and Mack here for this great event. Warren, thanks for having us, and I know you're busy. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for putting me on right after I came up the stairs, guys.
I did the same thing. I walked up the stairs, and I needed a little bit of a breather. I'll let you catch your breath here. First off, I want to go backwards before we get to what's going on today. Your story is incredible, and when you got those 10, 15 minutes with David Stern and your vision back in the day, take me back to that and how important of an arc that was in your life and career.
I mean, you know, it's a lot easier looking back to understand the importance of that moment. At that moment, it was like, hey, quit walking away. Give me a shot. Let me just talk to you for a second. For the first time, he turned around and said, all right, you got 5 minutes. 15 minutes later, we were talking about this thing had a chance. But again, like everything else in life, that you love to believe that there was always some kind of design to it. A lot of luck and timing. It just so happened. The best summer league at that juncture was in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the year before we had ours, that's when LeBron played in the one in Boston. It was going crazy there. I mean, everybody loved the event. It seemed to be in a sort of a nice area. Again, they only used one gym. So the following year, everybody was anticipating going back. It was the same year they were booking the Democratic National Convention there. They forgot to book hotel rooms.
That's a big one.
So They then tried to move it to Mohican, which is that Indian reservation about a couple hours outside of Boston. Well, nobody wanted to do it. They didn't want to go out there to play. And so for that reason, you know, they'd heard that I was trying to get this league over here. And Danny calls me up and says, hey, did you get the approval? And I said, just so happened I just got it. He goes, well, I think we may want to come out there and hang out with you. This is Danny H, who was running the Boston League. They realized they didn't want to go out there. And then we had Cleveland, who didn't want to go. Jim Paxson there was at the time. Tommy Shepard with Danny, Ernie Grunfeld, and sons Danny. We were just talking to him. And then I had George Carl in Denver, Mike D'Antoni in Phoenix. We needed one more team because you have to have six teams to be able to put a credible or certified league. And I had, at that point, that was the year that Dwight Howard was going to be the first-round draft pick out of high school. And they had just the new GM in Orlando at that time was actually had more of a hockey background than basketball. So when I was talking to him, he at least was willing to listen since he didn't know, in his mind, all he needed to know about basketball, like some of the other GMs that are in the league. They all felt they got everything. You know, they know everything they need to know. And I explained to him that Dwight would be in the first summer league, and they played one then as well. He's just going to catch up with how fast the game is. The second one is when it stabilizes, where he'll start to see the game in real time.
Right.
But you need a second summer league for him to really find a foundation, and he bought it. Well, that was our summer league.
Warren, let me ask you, what was more difficult at that time, and when you were thinking outside the box, was it logistics, travel, partnerships? Because we'll get to the partnerships that you have now in 2018, but what concerned you back then when it came to money and funding this league?
I was too dumb. I had no idea. Yeah. All I saw was the vision of let's just have a league. I'll worry about that other stuff afterwards. I was willing to come out of pocket. One of the things, remember, basically my coaching guru is Tim Gergich.
Yeah.
So Tim was already here working out guys. We're here all the time. A lot of guys also relocate to Vegas in the off season for tax reasons because it's a state tax state here. So we're already doing it. So to me, they kept hammering, hey, let's have a league here. Why are we traveling all over the place? I said, you're right. So I was the guy designated to get it done. So we ended up getting it done.
Warren LeGarry is our guest, the executive director of the NBA Las Vegas Summer League. Now let's fast forward to 2018, but I remember the Lonzo year last year, and I remember the buzz, and my kids who have been coming here every year, and it just seemed like last year was a little bit different with the Lakers. And now this year, as a national radio show, we're starting to talk about more deals. We're hearing about not the LeBron deal being done in a concourse here, but more and more GMs talking about potential deals. Kawhi's out there, some of the other deals. Walk me through that.
The Kawhi deal, people don't understand, it is being discussed here.
Right here.
It's the forum. This is where people have met. RC usually has left earlier. He has actually stayed a number of extra days. Clearly, stuff is getting done. That's the one thing we felt we've always provided, besides the basketball community, a forum in which people could not only work, converse, but it's so much easier working eyeball to eyeball because you'll get something done if you two people sit down. And that's what this is the type of forum where we can provide that.
I really believe, and I want to go back to Bob Myers, and let's talk about this dynasty now with the Warriors. Maybe share a story or two on how this team was built, Bob Myers and this organization through NBA Summer League.
Let me give you a better story on Bob Myers. He was an original partner in the Summer League.
Interesting.
When he was an agent, he had a great relationship with Reebok. And Bobby brought Reebok to the table that helped us big time. Bobby was an original partner, along with Albert, Marnie, and a guy named Chip Hooper, who was a booking agent for incredible bands like Dave Matthews, Fish, Black Eyed Peas. Unfortunately, he has since passed away. But Bobby was right in here as one of us.
Well, give us an example of his type of work ethic and how he put this deal together, drafting Steph, drafting Clay, drafting Draymond, and then pulling off the Kevin Durant deal with the Hamptons Five.
First of all, you meet Bobby, you would never imagine any of that. He was one of the most genuine, legitimate guys. You like being around him. He just gives off tremendous vibes. He's one of the most really genuine and sincere. But Bobby's not a big talker. He's a really good doer. As an agent, he did things, and you wonder, how do these guys stay with him? And the clients he had were so loyal. It was amazing. But Bobby just has this presence, this style, this manner which people immediately trust, and they always give him the benefit of the doubt. But he also had this discerning eye. When he was the clients, if you look at his list, he didn't have many misses. The guys he went after were guys who became major productive stars in our league. I mean, just like you have generational players, this was a generational agent. He was clearly taught by one of the best in the business, Arn Tellem, when he's coming up. But you still have to be able to put up the goods, and Bobby has. And how he translated to the GM, a difference between him and a lot of other agents, yeah. Bobby was always a collaborator. A lot of agents are mavericks. They're independent guys. Bobby always worked well with others. And that's the secret to this business.
So do you believe Rob Pelinka, when you look at this and your agent background, and now you're just talking about Bob Myers, do you believe that's a perfect fit with Magic Johnson, Jeannie Buss, and the hierarchy of the Lakers?
Well, it's ironic. Bob worked with us, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob worked with us as well. He was in the old SFX group, and we were all together. So you could see the collaboration, because no agency succeeds just on the basis of one. It has to be a collective. So he came out of that area where Arn was as well. So and he also had a unique boutique. He didn't do a lot of players, but every one of his players were difference makers in the league.
We're wrapping it up with Warren Legarry. He's kind enough to join us here at NBA Summer League. Now let's talk about the summer of LeBron. With your agency background and what you do here, do you think the sport in general? Because I talk about it every night. We're talking about these elite super teams and everybody chasing it. What concerns do you have for markets like Charlotte, New Orleans, Milwaukee, Portland? They know they can't build the super team. Where do you see the league going?
Look, I mean, to me, it all starts at the top. What teams do at the top. Remember, Golden State was not a place anybody wanted to go.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It wasn't considered a big market team. It was a team that everybody used to can't
they
wait to get a few
drought.
Wins.
They had a 40-year drought.
Everybody wiped their
drought.
Feet on them up there. The only thing they did so legitimate, despite the losing, their marketing people put together a juggernaut. I don't care if it was a Monday night. They still weren't making the playoffs. That place was full, and it was rocking. However, it shows you, if you put the right people in place, they put the right philosophy in place, and they do that every day, the work ethic, the making sure that they cover all the details, why can't you have a winner?
Because we're worried about fans who are listening are worried about the fact that their market can't get free agents to come. We're going back to, and New York can't get it done in the number one media market.
Well,
my Knicks can't get it, but it looks like Carmelo wants to go to either Miami or Houston. Or what do you think of ring chasing in general?
First of all, if you have an owner who puts winning above everything else, money, this,
okay.
That's where it starts. If you have people committed, it's important to me to win a championship. It has to start there. And then, like everything else in life, just how this league started, a little bit of luck, timing. But you have to persevere. You have to believe. I have a philosophy.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
A lot of people see a wave, a rock. I see a beach. That wave is going to keep pounding that rock. And every day, we're going to persist. I already see the beach. Other people may not. But I'm going to be laying on that beach.
Last question, what makes you feel so good when you see this concourse packed and you see people coming here and talking about it and the ESPN, the relationship you have with the MGM, your partners, what makes you most proud about this year?
Well, like any proud papa, you see his baby grow up.
Yeah.
No matter what, there's nothing. It still gives me a tingle. I still walk through the concourse and I grab people and I say, well, how are we doing? Is there anything else we could do? You still realize your success is because the people want to be here, not have to be here. They want to be here. That means they'll come back. So we make sure we never forget our roots and how humble we started. We work each and every day like it's that first day in 2004 where we're just hoping a couple people showed up.
I see that because I see the kids here. It's a kid-friendly event in Vegas. And, you know, we're on all over the country at night, and I tell people, I go, if you want to bring your kids out here and let them just run around from arena to arena and get autographs, this is the place to do it.
I dare anybody to tell me where there's a better entertainment value than our summer league. We had our first 4 days. There were 10 games, $35 for an adult, $25 for a kid. And the access you have, the ability to see people you've only read about, heard about. Now you're walking across the concourse and you're bumping into them because they're all looking down at their phones. Or you're grabbing them and you're telling them, how come you drafted that guy? And they'll give you a reason. Where else can you find that? Here's the one thing we've always made sure. Our pact with our fans. All right, we may not be giving you an NBA game, but I guarantee you an NBA experience. And that's the one thing they can walk from this deal and they realize, with all the aesthetics we put in, production values and everything else, they have truly had an NBA experience. Because for the most part, our fans could never afford a real NBA game. And you're still so far away, you need binoculars to see them. Here, you're up close and personal.
And it's loose and it's calm and it's safe and it's fun and the kids love it. Parents love it. And again, the access to see this many NBA talent walking back and forth from arena to arena.
And remember,
great.
Tomorrow we have our Sweet 16. Because of the 30 teams, we've changed
love
the format.
It.
Tomorrow's all winners. Every team. We're like in we're in July Madness right now. Every team wants to win a championship. Every team wants that trophy. No matter what, bragging rights. Because it's no longer this thing, oh, Summer League. No, Summer League is where you see unbelievable performance. These are where guys cultivate their brands. So we start tomorrow. So we got 16 teams that are trying to get to that championship. Then we go to the quarters on Sunday, semis on Monday. Big summer championship on Tuesday.
Congratulations on all your success, and thanks for having us. Fox, really appreciate
hey,
it.
Hey, guys, thanks for all the support. We
you
couldn't have
it.
Done it without you. And the fans. We can't thank you guys enough, too.
Thank you, Warren. Warren LeGarry joining us, the executive director of Summer League, the founder, a great agent, a great guy, and a guy who's a big reason why we're here. When we come back, I'll get you back to what I did yesterday with the Raiders here at Veterans Village. Their executive director is going to join us. He was supposed to come on yesterday. He's thrilled to come on today. And we'll reset what I wanted to talk about when we started about a half hour ago. Marc-Andre Fleury. Got that three-year contract extension. Want to hear from you at 876-1340. We're live from NBA Summer League. You're listening to Fox.
I feel this is the thing to do. This is what I want to do. This is the organization that I want to be a part of, and I'm all in. I only live one time. This is something that I feel deeply, strongly about, and I'm going to do everything I can to put the Raiders back on track.
Yep, and we do everything on this radio show to put the Raiders front and center, and I had an unbelievable experience yesterday. You might have saw it in the Review Journal today. The experience yesterday was amazing at Veterans Village as the Raiders donated $150,000 to Veteran Village and then another $25,000 for the container homes there. And my wife and I were down there. I had a chance to MC the event, and I got a chance to meet Arnold Stalk, who is the founder of Veterans Village and does so much for the local vets here in town in Las Vegas. We wanted to get him on the show. Arnold, thanks for coming on, and I really appreciate everything you did yesterday. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, and thank you all. Thank you to the Raiders, and for you. You really energized and electrified our ceremony. It was really cool. Thank you.
Talk about the veterans that you house there on property, what the typical veteran is going through, and how you came about this process to want to take care of these men and women.
Well, I founded this organization in honor of my father, who was a United States Navy veteran, and my uncles, who both fought in World War II. And to all the veterans out there who exit out of the active military duty and find themselves, many find themselves just fine, but some find themselves not acclimating well or hit on rough times. And so we respect them. We provide housing and intensive supportive services with respect and dignity.
I find it amazing because the Raiders were looking and their Raiders Foundation for a connection for someone to work with. They had their signature event at Top Golf. Proceeds from that event went to Veterans Village. And can you talk about the impact that that's had already on some of the veterans that are living there with you?
Well, you know, United States veterans and football go hand in hand as far as I'm concerned. And so we house at our one campus that you were at yesterday, we house over 300 people a night there. And just the fact that the Raiders are there and the brand that it brings and the energy it brings really is uplifting. You know, as you saw, we have our Raider flags up there. You know, it's a great experience. And this brand will allow us to build our 10 converted ocean container houses, which we hope to open around Veterans Day. That's my goal.
Arnold Stalk is our guest, the founder of Veterans Village, and I want to talk about those container homes because my wife and I looked at a container And then we looked at one of the containers that were refurbished with a shower and a bedroom and a kitchenette. It's incredible, as you have them side by side, that men and women could live in that and really be comfortable. I think it's fantastic. We need more in this town. There's a container village downtown, and it seems like you're really running with that vision. Talk more about that if you can.
Well, I go back a long way with container technology. I saw it many, many years ago. It was very difficult to get anybody to even look at it. And then fast forward to Tony Hsieh and the Zappos Downtown Project, and they built a retail park built out of containers and other technologies. But ours, it's an 8x4, it's an 8 foot wide by 40 foot container. Then we have an 8x20, half that size. And you'd be amazed at what you can get in that kind type of space to make it livable, to make it, we have skylights, sliding glass doors, Dutch doors, all sorts of different things to make the environment just like a home. It's just smaller.
Arnold Stock is our guest. Veterans Village, the Raiders wrote a check for $150,000 yesterday, the Raiders Foundation.
Amazing.
Doing an unbelievable job. Dr. Stock, I wanted to ask you why we don't do enough for our veterans in this country.
You know, I can't answer that specifically. I can only answer to what I know. Mm-hmm. And if anybody is a veteran, we want to thank them for their service, and particularly veteran spouses who go through just as much as our vets do. I think that we let our eye get off the ball when it comes to our vets for decades now. I grew up as a teenager during the Vietnam era. I didn't like the way we treated our veterans then. I saw our vets spit on and disrespected and refused service. You talk about refused service in restaurants constantly. Now it's changed a little bit over the years. I think we're doing a better job of it, but I think it's the private sector and the community's responsibility to get up off of our you-know-whats and build housing and really treat our vets with respect, like that they deserve. They put themselves in harm's way around the world. Every single day, our active military is protecting us. So we need to respect them. That's just my opinion.
And finally, you've never turned anyone down. Anyone who needs shelter, a meal, they need protection, they come to Veterans Village. Can you talk about that? Because I think a lot of people in town don't understand that. They think of Veterans Village, they just think of vets. But you and I talk privately about it and the caring that you give to people when they're in their neediest of times.
No matter who it is, we will help anybody that walks through our doors. And we are open 24/7, 365. At two campuses, we have a total of five campuses, one that's in development. And we never turn anybody down, whether it's everything from getting some food and some water to all the way to lodging. So no one's ever refused service, particularly our vets.
I love when I introduced you yesterday before the check ceremony, and you were able to recite commitment to excellence. You know, pride and poise. You understand just win, baby. Talk about finally why you think the Raiders will be a perfect fit here in the Valley.
Well, I think that if Las Vegas and Southern Nevadans thought that the Golden Knights brought an energy here, wait till the Raiders get here. It is going to be off the charts. I'm from L.A. I understand it. And it's just great. Commitment to excellence is what I was brought up on things like that from Mr. Davis many, many years ago. So I'm excited, and I can hardly wait to see the first game.
Arnie, you're a friend of mine now. We'll be friends for a long time. Whatever my wife
Absolutely.
And I can do to help down there, please let us know when we can come out and help you in the future. And again, it had a big effect on me. When my wife and I drove out of there yesterday, we realized that we need to do more. And again, I'm proud to know you, and I know how much you do. Thanks for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Anytime. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Dr. Arnold Stock of Veterans Village. You have to go down there and see this to believe it. And when I went down there and I pulled up with my wife yesterday with this event, and I saw a whole bunch of kids come out of apartments and veterans in wheelchairs, they came there for a big barbecue, and they were having such a great time. And to see the sincerity of the Raiders, you know, the Raiders do this all the time. And when they write a check like that, and Mark Bedain, the president of the Raiders, wrote a check, and then he found out that these containers cost about $25,000 to refurbish and turn them into a home. And he knew they were one shy of their goal. So Mark in the back room said, let's just buy another one. So the Raiders wrote a check for $150,000 and committed another $25,000 for another home. And this is what's going to happen in this community. You've been talking about the Vegas Golden Knights. We're talking about the Raiders and how sports brings the community together, and proud to be a part of that yesterday. Thanks to the doctor who joined us. And get on down to Veterans Village. And if you can go to veteransvillage.org and maybe make a donation, we would greatly appreciate it. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore. You get more car and more choices for less money. At the Superstore right there on Boulder Highway in Henderson, they have the largest Hyundai inventory in Southern Nevada, and more choices mean more savings. Get more and save more at the Henderson Hyundai Superstore on Boulder Highway in Henderson. When we come back to NBA Summer League, where is Carmelo going to go? Jimmy Butler is looking maybe to hook up a Kawhi Leonard. As you know, Warren told us a little bit earlier in the show, this deal's going down, and he thinks that Kawhi Leonard's deal is getting hot. Thrilled to be out here. Looney joins me at the top of the hour for the national show. We are live with Joe Sands, my favorite engineer on the road, from the Thomas and Mack. It's NBA Summer League on Fox.
I didn't come here to just be a rebounder, or, you know, I came here to bring my skill set to this team and, you know, and fit into kind of what's the plan. I haven't sat down with coach yet to see kind of, you know, how we're going to play, what we're going to do, and schemes and things like that. But for the most part, I just want to be able to do what I do best within the confines of, you know, the system and what coach wanted, and being able to work alongside Russ and PG.
So that was Carmelo Anthony, and I'm happy we have that bite, because that's when he went to Oklahoma City, which seemed like a really good fit. I mean, I don't know how you didn't think that was a good fit. You got the MVP of the league in Russell Westbrook. You have Carmelo Anthony, one of the great scorers in the history of this league, and obviously Paul George. Billy Donovan, who's here with Oklahoma City, they just couldn't get that team going. Now, the problem is they play in the Western Conference, and the Western Conference is the best, and they're not the Warriors. And Houston had an unbelievable year with James Harden as the MVP. So they break up that team, but not really. Paul George decides that he wants to stay. But it doesn't look like, obviously, Oklahoma City wants anything to do with Carmelo Anthony. They want to buy him out of that $28 million deal. And now Carmelo Anthony has an opportunity to ring chase somewhere else. So the obvious fit would be Houston, or maybe now Miami. Mr. Michael Lee from Yahoo joined me on the radio yesterday to talk about the best fit for Carmelo going forward.
You know, everyone is sort of pointing to Houston as the destination, because last year that's where he wanted to go, and that's where he was willing to trade his give his no trade clause. But I think that they didn't have the pieces to make a deal, so they didn't. And it sort of worked out for them, because they were able to replace, you know, what they thought they would get, which is some defensive-minded wings who really helped them establish that identity. Those guys are gone now, especially Lou and Trevor Ariza. That's a big loss for the Rockets. Now it looks like Carmelo is going to wind up, you know, maybe going there or to Miami. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but you got to think about this. You know, if Carmelo goes to Miami, it wouldn't just be about basketball. It'd also be a lifestyle choice and going to a place that he feels comfortable. And also, think about where he is in terms of and what Miami requires. Miami requires you to be in the top physical shape. That's Pat Riley's way. And if you're not, you're not going to play. So if he decides to go there, then he has to commit to being in the best shape of his life. And you might actually see him playing at a higher level. So the Lakers don't make as much sense because of LeBron and Kyle Kuzma there. He wouldn't have the minutes. But if it were to be, you know, what most people think, Houston sort of is a front runner because Chris Paul is there and he has a relationship with him. And Mike D'Antoni, I believe, you know, they were both in different places when they clashed in New York. They're both trying to win now, and they both were flexible enough in adjusting their styles to fit with each other now. So Houston seems to be the front runner, though.
Yeah, and I think Houston is going to be the best fit for Carmelo Anthony. But if he ends up, see, Carmelo's in a really tough spot, as we've been talking about, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later on tonight with our NBA guest, is that if he doesn't go to Houston, he's giving the image to everyone that he doesn't want to win. Because if he goes to Miami, it's just a lifestyle move, and he's going there to get money and play and score, and he'll be the number one or number two option. If he goes to Houston, He'll be the third option behind Chris Paul and James Harden, and he'll really help him, but he doesn't play enough defense. And my problem with, obviously, Houston is their coach. Mike D'Antoni can't coach defense. And he coached Carmelo Anthony, and they failed miserably with the Knicks. So if you ask Mike D'Antoni again to coach Carmelo Anthony, it's probably going to be a failure. And what a shame that Carmelo Anthony, a gifted, brilliant basketball player from high school to his iconic year with Syracuse, his national championship, and the Olympics, he just refuses to get in shape to the best of his ability and play defense. If he really played hard defense, he'd be a different type of player. The problem with Carmelo is if he plays defense at 100%, he doesn't have enough energy to play offense and score. And that's why Kawhi Leonard, I want to segue to Kawhi Leonard being a brilliant player, because Kawhi's 27 years old. He can score, he can run, he's got tremendous cardio, but he's clearly the best defender in all of basketball. And he becomes an unrestricted free agent next year. Also, Klay Thompson of the Warriors becomes a free agent next year, and he's the second best two-way player, arguably, in the league. Klay can defend anybody at the guard position, at the 1-2 and sometimes 3, and he can score. And he's one of the hottest guys out there. So when you do get a great player, it's such a bonus to get a player who can play defense. And that's the problem with this league. We got three-point shooters, we got rebounders, we have shot blockers, but it's tough to find what. And that's why Kawhi Leonard is in a really good position for himself personally, because everybody knows, if healthy, he's the best two-way player in the league. He's a better defender than LeBron, and that's why where Kawhi Leonard goes, I think a lot of players are going to follow. I think Kawhi Leonard, if he doesn't go to the Lakers, is going to go to the Clippers, and he could be the cornerstone to rebuild the Clippers after they got out of DeAndre Jordan, they get out of Doc Rivers, they get out of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. He'd be the perfect guy to do that. We'll come back and wrap it up. I'll give you the guest list for tonight here as we're live from NBA Summer League on what's going to be an unbelievable night. Remember the format here. They give out a trophy for the winning team. And after tonight, we get to the Sweet 16, which starts tomorrow. So if you can get out here Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the competition level with all these winning teams really steps up. Fox Sports Radio, live from NBA Summer League, courtesy of PT's.
Irvin and I had a conversation, and you know, LeBron echoed this sentiment that I think to try to play the Warriors in their own game is a trap. No one's going to beat them at their own game. And so that's why we wanted to add these elements of sort of defense and toughness and depth and try to look at areas where we'll have an advantage.
It's Rob Pelinka, who's now the GM, and what a connection to NBA Summer League. Earlier today, we had on Warren Legere, who's the executive director and the founder of this league, along with Albert Hall, and he knew Rob, and Rob's obviously an agent now working with Magic Johnson, and they don't want to compete with the Warriors at the Warriors' strength. I get that. So they bring in Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, LeBron James, JaVale McGee, and they're trying to build the team. And they need another big superstar. I don't know how you beat the Warriors with LeBron James and the guys that they have now. Now, the good news for the Lakers is they have Brandon Ingram, who's a hell of a player. They have young players, Kyle Kuzma, who are really good. And if they don't get rid of those guys in a trade, and they're able to get Kawhi Leonard to come with the cornerstone rookies that they already have and LeBron James, then I think as the Warriors get a little bit older, and remember, another key here, is you got to hope that the Warriors lose either Draymond Green or Kevin Durant opts out, or the big one, Klay Thompson, decides to leave the Warriors and goes and becomes a Laker. And if Klay Thompson goes with LeBron James, can you imagine the defense that the Lakers would have with Kuzma and Brandon Ingram and Rondo, and they're able to keep Lonzo Ball? Now the Lakers look like they have the depth to match the Warriors, and if they steal Klay Thompson, that would be tremendous. Thanks to Dr. Arnold Stalk, the founder of Veterans Village, Warren Legere, the founder of NBA Summer League, Bobby Machado produces the show, Joe Sands, the engineer, on site. We appreciate everybody all week long, the Henderson Hyundai Superstore incredible job that they do for us, Boulder Highway in Henderson. If you're looking for a new or used car, go there. They have the best selection in town. And my friends at PT's, the great team at Golden Entertainment, happy hour starts right now. I got to grind another 3 hours, if you call it that. If I wasn't, I'd be at a PT's throwing a cold one back. Looney joins me at the top of the hour. Come on out to NBA Summer League anytime this weekend. You'll have a great time.